and welcome to Marooned at MacBite's headquarters, day 171, or as we're calling it, Groundhog Day. You're wondering, aren't you? Oh, yes. This one takes the biscuit. But first of all, we're going to get into the chat and say hello to everybody. CQ Deb, CQ Deb. Hello, Kim. Hello, Jonathan. Hello, Paul. How is the world down under? And hello, Debbie. Why is it Groundhog Day? Oh, get comfortable. I'll tell you a story. Remember last week when we all said it was not the time to be out of lockdown? But the government? Oh no, it was time to be out of lockdown. So they put everything in place for midnight last night. Now, did lockdown happen? Yes, it did. Then, was it released last night at midnight? Yes, it was. And at noon today, we're back in lockdown! I am not even joking. Jonathan will be well aware of this. We have actually been Trafford, our little borough, which is probably about a 12th of the size of Greater Manchester, has been headline news all afternoon. Trafford and Bolton back in lockdown. Now, Jonathan didn't actually have the tantalising carrot of being out of lockdown, but the rest of us did. And it was blissful for 12 hours. And now we're back in lockdown. You think I'm joking, don't you? I'm not. Genuinely, I'm not. This actually happened. The government have done that many U-turns. I'm not sure of the way they originally intended to be and whether they're that way or whether they've done a U-turn on that. No idea. But yes. Did I catch parliamentary questions? As much as I could tolerate, Jonathan. As much as I could tolerate. So probably, you know, upwards of a minute, I'd say. I honestly don't think I could vote for Boris at the next election. I will be perfectly honest with you, Jonathan. I didn't vote for him at the last one, which is unusual for me, but I couldn't. I genuinely couldn't. I actually looked at the ballot paper and I thought, I genuinely can't vote for any of them. But you know, when you're at that point where the suffragettes died for this, I thought, I'm going to have to put a cross somewhere. But no, Boris had already. I felt the way he had not covered himself with glory for the last 2 years. In terms of how he had plotted behind Theresa May's back. And I'll admit she wasn't the best that there was. But she did step up after Cameron. And it was her party that decided that they were having the Brexit vote. And once it went the way, you know, the public wanted it, whether you agreed with that or not, then all her party should have got behind her, but they didn't. And he was a devious toe rag. I couldn't choose really between him and Gove. And to think the two of them are now in cahoots, when they were in cahoots to start with, and then they had a massive falling out, they weren't speaking to each other for 2 years, and then they joined forces and got her. There isn't one of them. But Jonathan, if you stood, I could vote for you. So think of it. Think of it as an incentive. Crossover will be next Tuesday. That, you know, that's so true. They've kind of just become one, haven't they? They could. I thought at the beginning he was actually doing quite well. You know, it was, I don't want to put you into lockdown, but I'm going to have to put you into lockdown. We're all in this together. Let's pull it. And I thought, yeah, I'm okay with that. But after that, it just totally fell apart. And it wasn't even when he had COVID and he was in hospital. One, we were lied to about that. He was on death's door and they never told us that. Which I'll admit, you know, is that up to him when he's actually on death's door? But that's not the point. Then when he came back, before he'd come back, he was off on maternity leave. You can't do that. Not if you're the Prime Minister. To be honest, Theresa wasn't much good on Brexit, but she would have been better at COVID. I think she would have been better at COVID. The Brexit thing was a poison chalice, whoever took it over. And if Boris had have taken it over when she got it, if he'd have stood against her, I think he'd have got it. But I don't think he would have been any better on Brexit than she was, because you need the support of the rest of the party. In times of crisis, if everyone wants the government to do well, it's in all our interests. But right now it's like this. What are they smoking exactly? The government are doing my head in. They really are. The children went back today and you should have seen them getting off buses in masks. And then, you know, they're going into class and they've... This one got me. Don't know about you, Jonathan. You're way younger than me. But all the desks are now facing forwards and it's not like that. And I thought, well, where are they usually facing? Backwards. Because all our desks were in a line facing forwards. Apparently, they were all in little groups together. I thought, this isn't the guides or the scouts. It's school. Don't put people in cliques. That's how bullying starts. But they've separated all of the desks back to how it was in my day. And they're all facing forward now. I thought, what? You mean like they can actually do some work? Just me. Maybe not. You're not much better. Oh, Paul. There's me hoping that everywhere else on the planet is better than we are. But clearly not. Hello, Anthony. How are you doing? All Jonathan's desks were facing the front. Well, in that case, I don't know where this let's all put the desk in a little picnic shape came from. Whenever I see the things in America, it always fascinates me that there's kind of a chair, but usually not really a desk. Now, this could be going back years. I don't know. I've only seen it in TV shows. But there's like an arm on the chair where you put your book and you write in it. Now, that could be dated, I don't know. But that always fascinated me because we actually had desks. But the desks did face forward. All this malarkey of putting them into little groups. It turns it into musical chairs. You might have a group of five friends who go in there and there's only four tables, you know, four desks, and then you're scrapping over it and then somebody's sitting with somebody else. And it should just be each desk is totally separate. Sit at whichever one you want and be done. In fact, I think we actually were allocated desks in first year. So you kind of got told who your best mate was. That was the one sitting next to you. But you had no idea who this person was before you started. Ah, now you see, Anthony was progressive. Theirs were in a U-shape. U-shape, though, is quite neutral, isn't it? But putting them together in little clusters was never a good idea in the first place. Oh, dear, dear me. I know. Oh, snag it worked well, video recording the webinar. I'm going to do it again as we speak. Brilliant. That's fantastic, Kim. And now Kim's school had a mixture of desk arrangements. I think the art ones were all separate even. We had proper artist boards, but they were separate. The home economics one was separate because you each got like a workbench and you had to cook. Sewing was separate because you each had a sewing machine. What else was there? You obviously had a lab bench in chemistry, biology and physics, but none of this clicky thing that seems to have come in, which I don't like. But that's just me. So Jonathan says, at my school, we call the teachers sir and miss and stood when they entered the room and had to ask permission to take our jackets off. Exactly. That's exactly how we had it. And, you know, it's so sweet at the primary school that I'm a governor at, because when you go on a governor's tour, you walk in and you're with the head teacher and all the children stand up and they'll say, you know, good morning, Mr. Whatever. And then he will say, this is Miss Giles. And they'll all go, good morning, Miss Giles. It's so sweet. And it reminds me of me. Whenever a teacher came in, we had to stand up. It doesn't do you any harm. It's discipline. But in this day and age, it seems to be like, oh, no, 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 no. We can't have that. The poor little tormented butterfly souls. No, that's where the discipline comes from. But, oh dear. Anyway, so we're back in lockdown. I feel like one of the weather people. On a cuckoo clock, am I in or out? Are we in lockdown or not at the moment? Yeah, we're back in. How many times is that, Jonathan? We were in, weren't we? Then we were out. Then we were back in, then we were out. Now we're back in. I think that's five. I've lost count. But there were only two boroughs that were going to be released from lockdown anyway, which made no sense in the middle of the other 15. Where are you going to go? Who are you going to go with? I guess you could meet up with other people in the area. But the bit that's ridiculous, I mean, I know we're all having a giggle over it, and you know, it makes precious little difference to me or Mike or Lola or Jonathan either. So never mind. But what is ridiculous? I mean, what about people who thought, yay, we can meet up with our friends, and they met up this morning? Well, yeah, kick them out by 12. Was the answer. There was no warning either. You're just straight back in lockdown. End of. But the bit that totally got me was last week when they made this proclamation that we were coming out of lockdown today. And we all said, no, it's not the right time. The reason we were saying it wasn't the right time was that we were looking at the figures. And the figures had gone up from 17 to 36. That's more than double. So why are you saying it's safe at 36 when it wasn't safe at 17? Today, when they said, as you were, back into lockdown, off you toddle, where you go? They said this is because the figures have more than doubled, and the rest of us just rolled our eyes and said, yes, we told you that last week. When the local council wrote to you, Boris, and said, please do not let us out of lockdown, the time is not right. Why did it take a week? They had an emergency meeting last night, and yet again, the council put their case of, please do not do this at midnight. The time is not right. The figures don't support it. And the government said, yes, 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 out of lockdown at midnight. And that was what happened. But the same figures today. Sorry about that. Can you go back into lockdown? And they don't want any confusion. Now, I did feel really early on when people were saying, oh, I'm confused. I thought, well, you know, just read the instructions. It's really simple. But now it's like, what day is it? Are we in lockdown? No idea. Because they just keep changing their mind. Would it not have been better to be absolutely certain a week ago? And all we're getting out of them is Greater Manchester went into lockdown, I think it was the 29th of July, and we've been in lockdown ever since, and now it's September. And it was like, well, we want them out of lockdown so the kids can go to school. The kids are going to school anyway because the parents want locking up. The kids are going to school because the parents are sick of them. But by the time the children have gone back and the universities have gone back, the sensible ones like me, Mike, Lola and Jonathan, yeah, we're not going out till about 2023. And I really think that's where we're going to be at this rate. Oh dear, oh dear. So Deb says lower grades in 5th and 6th grade had clusters and then in 7 to 12 in rows. I think we did have clusters in the first 2 years. So when you're 5 and 6. But even then, I think we change rooms every now and then. And when you change rooms, it's easier to just have them in rows. Plus the fact you've not got, this could just have been my school. Let me know, please. But you'd have people, if you were in a cluster and like they didn't want you in their group of four, they'd start stabbing you with a compass. You know, and you couldn't say a word because if you ouched, then the teacher would want to know what was going on. It was awful. It was. It just encouraged bullying. So sitting individually, I vividly remember sitting in, I think it was a maths class. It could have been, the room in question was the music room. I guess it could be music. Do you know what we did in music, which was completely useless? They'd hand out a song sheet, and I remember what one particular song on this song sheet, because I did like it. Mandy. I think it had been in the charts like 3 or 4 years earlier. Was it about 76-7? But anyway, it was Mandy. And they handed out these song sheets, and that's what we did in a music class. We sat and sang songs like it was some campfire. What is that teaching you about music? They weren't giving you instruction on how to sing. It wasn't a singing lesson per se of like, you know, breathe in, diaphragm, stand up, do this. It was just sit slumped at your desk and sing that. And I remember when I got my report, it was, she doesn't sing. Like, no, because I'm thinking, I wonder if that maths problem, if I could find an answer to that maths problem. I didn't consider that even teaching, but I do remember sitting there. And because my desk was next to the window, just gazing out of the window and looking at those playing hockey, thinking, I wish I was outside playing hockey. Oh, it's unbelievable. Oh, Deb didn't like cluster groups either. They seem to foster bad behaviour, as far as I'm concerned. The other thing that I found very awkward was the girl next to me, in primary school, when I went to my second primary school, she was left-handed and I was right-handed. And the teacher sat us in such a way that I write virtually upside down, to be honest. I tilt the paper that far, it's virtually upside down. And she did the same, but left-handed. So we ended up virtually back to back. So we decided we'd swap places, and that way she could lean on her desk and I could lean on mine, and we didn't like bump heads or anything. And she didn't like that either, but that was the teacher in the full back brace. So she didn't like much, to be honest. The discipline we're talking about, it doesn't hurt you. And being separate, it's not like you're going to get lonely in half an hour because you're 3 foot from another human being. Anyway, they've done that now. And we've had lots of interviews with head teachers, and there's lots of tape, you know, the warning tape, all over the floors. And they're doing something now that I wondered about years ago. It felt very inefficient to me. What we would do is we would go in and we would have register taken first about 9 o'clock, which is basically the teacher reads the register out and you say, I'm here or I'm not here. I mean, they've probably got them electronically tagged now. But then we went to assembly, which was basically one him and our father. And then we'd head off to classes based on your timetable. But you did have a home form room. That was your class's room. But you didn't stay in it all day. You know, you moved to other rooms. And I can see if you're going for gym or hockey or PT, whatever, you're going to have to leave that room. Also, if you're doing specialist things like cookery, sewing, or things like that, even biology, because you need a laboratory. But the rest of them, history, French, German, Spanish, geography, commerce, what you're moving for? Why are all the kids moving? It felt very inefficient to me. And again, it was the kind of thing where the kids going one way were supposed to be on the left-hand side and the kids going the other were on the right. But you'd get older years bullying younger years, and that was when the bullying happened. And it was so inefficient. It could take you 10 minutes to get to where you were going and then get all sat down and get all your stuff out again. It was like being a constant tourist. That's not happening now. Children are staying where they are and the teachers are moving. Well, yeah, because that made sense 30 years ago. But you didn't want to do it, and I don't know why. But that's what's happening now anyway. Good night, Jonathan. It's been chaos here today, honestly. every time I look at the... Because I made the mistake, obviously, putting like 2 o'clock news on, and it was Trafford Council all over the headlines. The number one headline. That is very, very rare. Don't think it's ever happened before. Not had a peep out of the MP. This is Sir Graham Brady, head of the 1922 committee of the Tory party. Not had a word out of him. At last we heard from him, as you were all back and we're not in lockdown anymore. So nobody's managed to find him for an interview. I wonder why. So debt rates are low. So you're probably in what we will call stage 3 or 4 here. They put in place these 4 levels. Level 1 was like total lockdown. And then level 2, you could do very limited things, but there was still no meeting up. But level 3 enabled you to meet people in your garden and in your house. And that's where we were. But in Trafford, we were only there for about 2 to 3 weeks. And you'll probably remember this, but when they changed the rules, I'd seen it, I think it was Thursday morning. And I said to Mike, or was it Wednesday night? It could have been very late Wednesday night. And I'd looked at the figures and I thought, yo, I had no idea Trafford were that high. They were less than half of the worst hit areas, but it was high, much higher than I expected. If I hadn't have seen that, what happened the next day would have shocked me. But it was first thing Thursday I saw it, and I mentioned it to Mike and he said I had no idea. But the thing was, he'd already done a Brooklyn's News show the week before. Now, we're not president this year. There's another guy in charge, and the first events were supposed to be in April, and obviously there's been no events at all. So we do the music show, but that's sort of our bit, you know. We instigated the radio station, so we do the music shows. That's the only events that have actually happened. But what he decided to do was hold like an open garden event. Now, you could only have 6 people visit, So they drew up a schedule, and it was happening on the Friday, Saturday and Sunday. And that way everybody got to see everybody's garden. Obviously, our garden, don't even bother looking at it. So the plan was in place. So I'm sat here at 2 o'clock in the morning when the note comes through. We're in lockdown now. And I thought, but the gardens is happening in the morning. And I thought, the gardens can't happen. Now, initially, we were told we were going into lockdown at midnight. And it was just that you couldn't meet up in people's houses. So the gardens were still okay. So it was when everybody went to bed, it was all fine. And then they made this new announcement at 2 o'clock in the morning and you couldn't meet up in the gardens, which was going to totally scupper this thing entirely. And I'm sitting here at like 2:10 looking at it at the news and I'm thinking, I know this and I'm probably the only one who knows this right now, because obviously the people involved would have been in bed. They were getting up early. They were cooking little cupcakes and stuff ready to entertain for 3 days. So Mike gets up at 5 o'clock and I said to him, you know that gardens thing? He said, yeah. I said, well, you know, we're in lockdown. He said, yeah, but that, you know, the gardens are fine. I said, they were until 2 o'clock. And he gets online and he's like, I don't believe this. And that's where we're at today. So it literally is Groundhog Day here, yet again. Do you all the breath mints? Yes, we know Tic Tacs. We have Tic Tacs. My biology teacher saw us eating them while in our group desk and thought we were all taking drugs. Oh, that's a classic. Do you have them in different colours as well? Because as was discovered with the Polo mints, I wasn't a huge fan of mint, but they did used to do them. They were white and they then brought in two different ones. One was green and I can't remember if that was mint, but the other was orange and it was quite a tangy orange. They were delicious. I love those. If we were caught eating, it didn't matter what it was confiscated. And another thing we did here as kids, the top 40 used to be announced, so the new number one, on a Tuesday about 12:30-ish in the afternoon, something like that. And of course, we all wanted to know what the new number one was. So we'd smuggle a radio in. Now, despite the fact we're talking a very tiny handheld radio where you weren't blasting the place out, it was in the lunch hour. And that we used to have lunch ladies or lunch monitors, and they'd wander around and if they caught a radio, they'd take it off you. So they would confiscate it for the rest of the day. I mean, it really, looking back, it was like prison, wasn't it? If I was running a school with the experience that I have now, and there was something like that at 12:30, I'd put it over the tannoy system and make it an event, make people happy. Because what do you remember about people? You remember how they make you feel. And my memories of school are like, how did they make me feel? Useless, stupid, awkward, you name it. Always trying to do something that was wrong. I mean, all you're trying to do is listen to the radio. Not in the middle of a class, I might say, in your lunch hour. And they ran it like a prison concentration camp. Why? I'd much rather have happy children who will work harder because they're happy. But I think I might be in a minority of one, again, as per usual. You have the same styles of levels, but the numbering's reversed. Well, you know, that'll be them putting their stamp on it, won't it, Paul? So Victoria is in stage 4 with total lockdown, except for essentials. Yeah, that would be our one. Isn't it bizarre? Wouldn't you think, you know, being a global pandemic, because that could cause confusion. You'd be all right if it was an odd number, wouldn't you? Because then level 3 would be level 3. But it could cause confusion for people who are going from one country to another for whatever the reason, particularly wherever they're going, the language isn't their first language. So why not just have a global thing? They've been in these groups long enough where they're supposed to be organising it all. So I can't understand it. It's just chaotic. And in Bradford, they announced it at 10 p.m. on the evening before Eid. I remember that, John. I remember that, Anthony. I do. I remember you saying, this is going to cause complete havoc. Absolutely. Same as if they'd announced it at 10 p.m. on Christmas Eve. Yeah, because Eid's all about, isn't it, like, I know it's a, there's a meal involved, but isn't it all about family? So they're like huge gatherings. I mean, remember when we were going through Pesach with Jonathan and he was having his Pesach meal on his own, where normally it's a whole family thing, and they ended up doing it on Zoom. But even worse, with so little notice, because those figures take time to come through. And at the point you've got those figures, why do you need to wait a week while you have a contemplation over it as to what you're going to do about it? As soon as I saw the figures the Thursday morning, I thought, we're in lockdown. We've got to. They can't not. And that's exactly what happened. But why didn't they announce it straight away? Why leave it till midnight? I think the first announcement was 8 o'clock for midnight and the next one was 2 o'clock for 2 o'clock. So people were getting up on the Thursday morning, and it was so funny because, you know, we were up at five and I said to Mike, well, we're not involved. You know, we're not going to people's gardens visiting and we're not having people here. I said, so we're not involved. I said, so my approach to this would be keep your mouth shut. Someone will find out. Because if you're not involved and you were last year's president and lady president, it sounds like you're interfering. You know, like, ha, 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 look what's happening in your year, even though that's the last thing on your mind. So I said, but, you know, it could so easily be taken the wrong way. I said, and tempers are going to be frayed. There will probably be words said in each individual household, because 9 times out of 10, it's the good lady that's done all the work. And now it's not happening. I said, leave it. Walk away. Leave it. Well, the first one to post was Nina at 9 o'clock, at 7 o'clock. And she was like, what the heck happened overnight? And she's relaying the news. And that was the first thing that people knew about it. It is absolutely shocking. Can you imagine people were actually on their way? And I'm sure with Eid, they probably were. Because I know that they travel quite a way, don't they? Ludicrous, ludicrous. Oh, you did have Tic Tacs in multicolours. I can't remember what the green were. I know the white were mint and the orange were orange, but the orange were gorgeous. They were quite fizzy as well. Hello, Paul. How are you doing? Most likely places for community transmission are gyms and family gatherings. They have opened the gyms here, but the gyms are reporting that people aren't bothered, that they're not going. So then they've got nowhere near the numbers they had. Family gatherings here, I would say, would be a big one. A lot of people are going out to eat. I don't know if you're aware of this, but there's a scheme that was run called Eat Out to Help Out. And the idea was the government wanted the economy back on track. So it was doling out vouchers to people that could be redeemed in participating restaurants and pubs, which was encouraging people to go back to the restaurants and the pubs. I think the vouchers were £10 each. So it was quite an amount of money off, which is, of course, being paid for by me, the taxpayer. Yeah. Which is, I think, absolutely ridiculous. You are encouraging people to go out when it may not be safe. Mike actually pointed out that one of the pubs that had participated in this, it's a place called the King's Ransom. And it's bang in the centre of our local town. So our local town is called Sale, S-A-L-E. And this King's Ransom is right next door to the town hall, which is like where the council live. It's actually down some steps. So it's next to the canal. So there's like a bridge over the canal and the Metrolink line, which is our tram line. And the pub is down by the canal. So you walk down these steps to it. And it has its own car park. So it's very popular. I think we've been in once. And I passed through once when we parked there. But, you know, it's not a bad place. But I'm not into that kind of... It's very noisy. To sit and have a meal, it's not really a restaurant. It's a pub with loud music on and sports on. So it's not really my thing, to be honest. And Mike said, oh, they've closed down. And I said, what, for good? He said, oh, no. They've closed down to do a deep clean. They've had an outbreak. And I'm like, it's a mile and a half up the road. Should I be worried? And Mike went, no, we didn't go in. We're fine. But this is why you can't risk going anywhere. But the eat out to help out thing, there's now calls for it to be extended to October. This is costing the government millions. But the thing is, it's the same people going out to eat. Now, the pubs don't care who it is, do they? But in terms of fairness, it just seems ridiculous to be taking money from one group of people to give it to another to support an industry that, why would you have to close to have a deep cleaner? You're not cleaning to start with. It does, for me, it asks questions. It definitely raises questions. Anyway, in relation to Mike going back to work on the 5th of October, well, it looks like we'll still be in lockdown. We'll see how that goes. So here I would say pubs, restaurants, possibly even shopping, it depends. Because people are going shopping and they are technically supposed to wear masks, but the shops have refused point blank to enforce that rule. So if somebody turns up without a mask, they're not turning them away, which is a bit short-sighted, because once the people without the masks get inside the shop, the vigilantes kick in with "you're not wearing a mask," and then it kicks off. So it's just stupid, isn't it? It's too stupid for words. I would say if I ran the country, but, you know, I'm so far beyond that. I don't think. I appreciate now, probably more than before, I thought you put rules in, people follow the rules. People aren't following the rules. And then what can you do about it? What do? Do you lock them up? Because they let people out of prison. This was ridiculous. If you had, you know, a short time left on your sentence, less than like 6 weeks, they let you out at the beginning of this. So there was lots of prison places left to put people in who then weren't socially distancing, which I couldn't fathom myself. But it goes from bad to worse. So family gatherings look like it's family gatherings are causing problems all over. I'm speechless in a way, because if you knew, for a start, the family gatherings are supposed to be in with your bubble. So over here, like, Nina would be in a bubble with her son and his children. But then she'd probably want to be in a bubble with Rachel as well. So we've stayed totally out of it. We're in our own bubble. There's just the three of us. Mike's mum actually mentioned maybe we could meet up at Dunham. And then she said, but you two are being good, aren't you? And Mike said, yeah, totally. Because there's Mike and there's Mike's brother. But Mike's brother has a son. So we said, well, you can only be in one bubble. So you should be in a bubble with him so you can see your grandchild. You know, lower her weight, not a problem. But other people with step families, multi-generational things, their bubble must be absolutely huge. And that's what's causing the problem. So if we met up with one person who'd been in sort of seven bubbles, then of course it would transmit. But why, if you are in any doubt? I mean, if Mike's mother rang and she said, you know, let's say she'd not seen anybody for 3 weeks, and she rings and she says, you know, I've fallen over and I need help. We can go up there because we've not met anybody. We are in a total little bubble of our own. So there's no way we could infect her. The danger would be the other way round. If we all did that, then we could be there for our families if and when actually needed. But if she's haired off and she's in a bubble with Mike's brother, and Mike's nephew went back to school today, so he's in a bubble with his year group. You can't isolate children by year group, because if you've got like a brother and a sister there and they're 2 years apart, there's two year groups going back to the same household. How many, you know, friend of a friend of a friend, is Mike's mum then exposed to in what she considers to be one bubble? The answer's thousands, and that's how it spreads. But if I had gone into work and then, you know, well, we're having a meetup of our bubble, I would say I should not go because I have been somewhere and I wouldn't want to risk infecting my family. But it's as if people are thinking in their bubble or in their family, oh, it won't count. You know, it doesn't count. But it does. There is no two ways about this. It absolutely does. And if that's what's happening, then there you go. Let's have a look. People meet up at the mosque and have family celebrations. Well, I'd imagine there would be something at the mosque, like a service of some description, which could be quite long. I'm always in two minds whether the ladies go or not. They certainly don't go in the same room as the gents. There's usually some kind of mezzanine level that they watch from, but they might do for something like that. Or actually more likely that they're at home sorting the celebrations out. But it's a huge day, isn't it? We have a Muslim family opposite, and they always have fireworks and stuff. It's an absolutely huge day for them. But what can you do? According to the data, prisons seem to have the lowest rate of infections. Might be the safest place to be. Maybe that's what the COVID idiots are hoping. Oh, let's have a look. Bears. Panda bears. Oh, panda bears. Let me look at the panda bears. Oh, I do love pandas. Oh, you'll be happy to know that, Lola's been at it. What's going on here? Why did that not find that? Copied an extra word. Right, got it now. Got it now. Where are you? Oh, it's loading. It's loading. Oh, there's polar bears as well. Oh, how adorable is that? Oh, you're quite right. Which one is it? Oh, look at them all. Oh, just, you know, they just enjoy life. They're not worried about the government. Look at their little faces. Yes, Lola's taken to the new flattened football. Oh, that one that's shaking its leg on the left, Lola does that. If you rub her tummy in just the right spot, a little leg kicks. It's like attached with a nerve thing. Oh, and the tumbling on the right. You see, I've calmed down immensely now, haven't I? I should just put this on all day and watch this. Never mind the news. But, you know, you've got to think about it locally, haven't you? Is it safe to go and cut the hedges? Nah, let's let them grow. Higher the hedges, the safer we feel. Oh, I want a panda. Lola would love that. We always said that with Mayor. He liked things that were bigger than him. But he would have probably objected to the black fur. He spent his entire life trying to get his white fur black. I must dig out that photograph of him. He went under the car. And he came in and he had this spot on his head. He looked like Bowie with that lightning flash on his head. Took 3 days to get it off. Oh. I'm going to leave that on all day, Kim. So cute. Where are they based? Oh, China. Oh, wow. Isn't the one of these from, is it Washington Zoo? Washington Zoo had a panda, I'm sure. Oh, the camera's moving. It's cutting the one off on the left now. One's on a seesaw. He looks very nonplussed, though, seeing as though there's only him on the seesaw. My mum did that, you know. She bought me a seesaw. Heaven knows why I was an only child. So I just used to sit on it at one end and then go up to the other and then sit on that. yeah, it was definitely made for more than one child, Mother. Oh, look at them. Do you know, they're such big animals and they kind of move in a very lumbering way, a bit like a bear, but they're actually quite agile. I remember watching the one at London Zoo. It was asleep in a tree. And this tree was like not a big thing. It was kind of like the trees that they've got there. Very few branches and quite thin. And I kept thinking, oh, you know, it's going to roll over and it's going to fall out. But they basically curl up into a ball, don't they? And then just bounce. They are so cute. I can hear what you're doing, Lola. Knock it off. I've had to take a chicken off her because Mike's actually in the middle of a webinar. So just in case she does not have chicken. But I am armed with a packet of tripe sticks, which Mike thought were sausages. This was how come she got two treats. Because then there is a packet of sausages that were brought up. So I takes one of the tripe sticks out, offers her that, not interested in the slightest. And then the next, Mike said, well, I'll go and get the sausages. So brings the sausages up. I left the tripe stick on the desk. She ate the sausages and then she's pouring at the tripe stick. So she really is thinking, if I eat the tripe stick, they might not give me anything else. So I'll hang out for something better like the sausages. But then the tripe stick will be out of the packet and she'll let me have that as well. And predictably, I did. Oh, dear. Yes, I think I'm going to leave that very, very handy, Kim. Do you know, I've got something weird happening on my machine. Do any of you use Vivaldi, the browser? I am using it because it's got the sidebar. So it's got all my Notion stuff hosted in it. but there's kind of a flickering on the screen. And I'd put this flickering down to the Mac. But I'm wondering if it's just Vivaldi. And if it is it a page I've got open? Because you know what I'm like for opening pages. And I've got two things. The mail's coming out later. It's actually written. Oh, isn't it good when I'm on holiday? I should get time to do stuff. Yes, I'm sending the mail out later about the stuff we've got on Friday. So it was ready. And then two things happened. And I said to Mike, I've got to put them in. I've got to put them in. But I'm under orders. We mustn't go over the 5 hours unless it's to outwit Jonathan. But the two things were, one is the Notion Clipper. Now, I know a lot of you use Notion. Do you use the Clipper? I use the Clipper all the time. The thing that gets me is it does two different things between iOS and the Mac. So if I clip via iOS, I get the title and then I get the link in the title, not where it should be. But, you know, it's good enough to capture it, but it's not perfect. Then if I do it on the desktop, it works properly. So it's a bit like, this is very annoying. But I thought, you know, it's good enough. You just have to process it yourself. But when you think about what the Evernote Clipper does, in terms of you can choose a notebook, you can apply tags, it would be great if it did that. And I don't know whether they're just not bothered or whether they're focusing their work elsewhere, their time and effort. But to me, it would make a huge difference. The better the Clipper is, the better. Anyway, I'm reading this thing and there's an alternative Clipper out there. So I thought, go on, I'll buy it, I'll try it. It's much more manual in terms of you need to set it up yourself. But once you have actually set it up, oh, it's a game changer, a game changer. So I thought I'll demonstrate that. That was one thing. And the other thing is our accounts are enabled for beta access from Microsoft. So I'm busy checking if there's anything new. Oh, found a whole new toy. So I think that must have been enabled in the last 2 days. So I might tell you, but there's a funny story with Mike trying to access it, as usual. But it can definitely be demonstrated because it's on at least one account. So then he had to go check his. But again, it's very much in beta. It hasn't even got a name yet. So when this thing's released, it will have a name, but we don't know what that is. But definitely worth looking at, because you need to know about these things sooner rather than later, don't you? All right, let's have a look. So Kim hasn't used it, Paul has, and can't wait till Safari will accept Chrome extensions under Biggles. That's going to be a game changer. That is the one reason that I just never use Safari. The only things I've got working in there, there was a dedicated DevonThink Clipper. 1Password works in there, and I think there was one other. But I only managed to get like 3 out of the ones that I use. Now, I actually didn't think, by comparison to people I'd seen, that I used that many extensions. But when Jonathan saw how many extensions I had, he was like, whoa, that's a lot of extensions. And I really didn't think it was. I am very cautious with installing extensions. You can install an extension and, you know, there's nothing wrong with the extension per se, but it will clash with the shortcut key for another one and you can't change them. Yeah, the other one that I've got in Safari that works, which surprises me on a daily basis, is Downy. Because Downy is no longer directly supported on Chrome. Now, I guess that's because what Downy does is download videos. One of the main sites it downloads the videos from is YouTube, and Google own YouTube and they don't want you to download the videos. So they kicked it out of the store. There are ways to make it work, which is to sideload it under development conditions, which I've done and it works brilliantly. So I've got it back to where it was, but I did have to, like, you know, hack it to make it work. But the fact that that works natively in Safari never ceases to amaze me. And I seem to have acquired another button. What's that? Is that native? I don't use Safari, so I have no idea if it's native or not. I've got a button that says download a video from a web page. Is that a native button or is it an extension? Let me look at the list of extensions, because I certainly didn't install it. Extensions. Oh, it is. It's an extension. Oh, very cool. Didn't even know that was there. What is amazing now, as I look at extensions, there's extensions there that I didn't install. And I think they've been added from the fact that they've changed the architecture and you now get the extensions via the store. So if you've got an app loaded, then it loads in its extension. But I don't use half of those. Don't use half of them. Right. So Kim says, my below the fold problems in Notion were fixed during the last update. That's excellent. My icon problem that I've had for 8 months was fixed. So I too am a very happy bunny. I've also spent the time in the holiday building a couple of more solutions to problems that we had. Mike can exist on the back of a cigarette packet. I'm not even joking. He can just, that'll do, that'll do. Whereas I'm like, can we make a system of this? And he looks at me like, do we have to? I mean, I'll give you an example. The last system that I built was a scheduling system for Brooklands 196. Because on a Saturday, we've taken to playing 8 hours of music before we go live. So we use some of the previous shows we've got. And then each week we have some new shows, which is fine. But you need to know which ones you've played and when you've played them. And then throughout the day, you need to have segues between the shows. So I was creating the segues and I didn't have a system for them. So what I need to say is, you know, hello and welcome to Brooklands 196. Today's a music day and we're starting off at 1 o'clock with X and at 2 o'clock we've got Y and at 3 o'clock we're doing that. But at the moment, let's go in and listen to whoever. So I've got probably about 6 to 8 of those to do and they'll probably get done Thursday or Friday. But I can't do those segues until I know what programs Mike's playing. And Mike will just write it out in text. There isn't, there hasn't been, a place to put it. And when I see something like that, it's got system written all over it. But he's like, oh, it's working as it is. And I'm like, it's not. Because you've got the text that you're sending to WhatsApp, you've got the list of what's running, but then I've got the segues and they're somewhere else. So I've taken the time and I've built this schedule system. Well, I thought he's going to hate this. He's not going to like the kind of, there's a structure to it, stick to the structure. He's not going to like it. He's not. Well, he tried it for the first time today. And I said, so that goes there and that goes there. And then he said, well, should I add the shows at the top? And I said, yes. So he did that. And then I said, you know, I appreciate it might take a while for it to gel with you. You're not like that. And he went, actually, it's easier. And I thought, oh, my word, we've had a breakthrough. So I built that and sorted that out. But yes, Safari, if it could take Chrome extensions, I think would be a game changer. But of course, you have to update to Biggles to do that. And that's the trickiest move is my main computer. Like today, for instance, I mean, why would they do this today? They've released a brand new version of Wirecast. Wirecast is the system I use to broadcast to YouTube. And it's like, there's lots of bug fixes. And I'm like, yeah, but where's the small print? You know, if I install that today, what will happen on Friday night? It'll either end really well or it'll end about 5 to 9. And Biggles is so close. What are you going to do? Bring out another big update? I mean, I think I last paid for version 6 and we're now onto version 14 and I'm on maintenance. So they're releasing like 3 and 4 versions a year now. But it just seemed a really odd time to do it to me. So I'm 50-50 about what I'm going to do about that before we even get onto anything else. I started using Dropmark, like the Clipper. Have I tried Dropmark? There's so many apps with drop at the beginning. But you can't get DevonThink to clip in Firefox. You have to copy and paste the URL. Is it a permissions issue? I would do what you're saying there, which is uninstall it and reinstall it. Your computer's so slow, you're scared to update anything. Oh dear. That is bad news. How old is it? What model is it? I've noticed with mine, I can be working away in an app and the fans are going and I'm like, this is ridiculous. I've barely got anything open. And it's not the app I'm actually working with. It could be something like Firefox. When you look at the activity monitor, Firefox has got two pages open and it's using 2 gig of memory and about 300% of the system resources. Close it down, reopen it, it settles down. But you're thinking it's the app that you're working with that's slow, and it's not. It's something else that's hogging processor cycles in the background. 2013, late. I've got a 2011 iMac and a 2012 iMac. They both run okay. Probably because I'm not asking that much of them. The one on my desk is a 2017, so that should be all right. Ooh, Jonathan's disappeared. We could talk about new iMacs, couldn't we? I was contemplating getting the new iMac and getting it for this week to set it up. Obviously, that's kind of slipped. The one job I've got to get done, because, you know, we can't see out the door at the moment, is the hedges. But I said, I'll do that on Wednesday. So I had the whole week sorted because it was going to rain on Thursday and Friday and Saturday. So I said, I'll do it Wednesday. Gets up this morning, it's raining. I said, wait just a minute. This, I might said, I know, not supposed to be raining today. Weather forecast says it's not going to rain. We looked out the window. It was absolutely siling it down. It wasn't just there's been a bit of rain. If I take the electric hedge trimmer out there, I'm going to get electrocuted. So no, couldn't do the hedges. Oh, what a pity. I would say giving it some more RAM would help. Has it got 4 fours in it or 2 eights in it? I do have sites that don't like 1Password, Anthony, and more I see sites where you go to them and you put your, well, it asks you for your username and then it reloads and then it asks you for your password. That drives me mad because obviously I want to use 1Password and fill in the pair together. Why load the page and take twice as long to let me into the site? And it seems to be a thing on certain sites. Are you on the beta program, Anthony? Because they've literally an hour ago updated the beta version because there was a backward step in the last one that wouldn't autofill certain sites. So if you are on the beta program, update and hopefully that would be fixed. If you're not on the beta program, just have a check and see if it mentioned that they fixed that in the version that you've got. Because if not, it might be worth getting the next one because there is a problem with it and they are aware of it. If I could send this rain to you, Debbie, I would. I would. It's true Manchester weather today. It's absolutely siling it down. And yet on the news after the you're in lockdown, no, you're not. Yes, you are. No, you're not. Yes, you are. We had, can you please stop using water or we'll run out and we'll have to go on, you know, hose pipe ban. And I'm sitting looking out the window thinking, what would anybody be doing outside with a hose pipe today? You couldn't get outside the front door. But if I could package it up, I would. Oh, it's a 21-inch, so that won't help, will it? Apple would have to get inside there. How much hard drive space have you got? Mine starts slowing down and moaning with 60 to 70 gig free out of a terabyte. Which, to me, that's like 5%. I don't think you should be moaning at that point. It really, really slows down under, I'd say, 100 gig. So I always try and keep at least 400 gig free when I'm doing any kind of jobs. I may end up using 200 gig of it with files, particularly audio files. They're absolutely huge. By request on a Saturday night, the audio files for that from 7 o'clock when we start Marooned to 1 o'clock in the morning are usually around 80 gig. We don't keep all of them. Some are duplicates, you know, backups. But at the end of the night, you've got 80 gigs of file to sort out. If you've got 500 free, then it's not the hard drive. I don't think it should be that slow. I mean, one option is to reinstall the operating system over the top of what you've already got, which might deal with the caches. Another thing you could do is try something like Tinkertool or, oh, what's the other one? Cocktail, which would, you could purge the caches on it, and then it would have to rebuild the caches. That might make a difference. Mine has moments every now and then. There was a funny one yesterday. You'll love this. Yeah, you know this course I'm taking? Well, it's 2 o'clock in the morning, 2 days a week. So Monday night was the compulsory you've got to be here session, 2 o'clock in the morning. So it was billed for an hour, I think, but we knew it'd go long. Well, one of the bits in it is we'll send everybody into a breakout room and we can all say hello to each other. And I'm like, for crying out loud. But, you know, I rock up and I do this thing. So we all get put. So while they're saying we'll go into a breakout room, I'm thinking, darn it. I'll have to get my audio going. So how I do my audio is that it's via audio hijack. So yes, the microphone is attached to the computer and I could just use it raw as it is. But if I do that, I have very little control over the level of the audio. Whereas if I take it through audio hijack, I can mute it and I can change the levels and generally do all sorts with it. So I ran audio hijack and then I click the button to go into the breakout room. And audio hijack just hung. And I thought, what? I'll shut it down. Well, I tried to force quit it. It wouldn't force quit either. And I'm thinking, I'm going into this room and I've got no audio. So I thought, I know what I'll do. Right, I'll get it all closed down and then I'll go into audio hijack again. Crashed again. So it was crashing repeatedly, which I could not fathom because it had been absolutely fine in Marooned, not 5-6 hours earlier. So I thought, well, what do I do now? I've got to use the microphone. And I thought, well, I'll force quit audio hijack and I'll just use the microphone. And that was what I was saying last night about Zoom. Zoom gives you a pop-up and the pop-up gives you a list of your audio devices. Separated into two, at the bottom, you've got your output devices, headphones, speakers, etc. And on the top half, you've got your input devices, which are... It will include your internal microphone, any microphones you've got attached, Bluetooth equipment, all of that. Well, I've got virtual devices, lots of them, and this window doesn't scroll. So I'm grabbing the window and I'm pushing it down the screen to try and play whack-a-mole with it, to click the button again so I can see the top half. But when I take it down the screen so I can see the top half, the button to click disappears. Well, you should have heard the air was blue. The air was blue because it meant I couldn't switch over from the microphone that was the virtual device in audio hijack that wasn't working to my actual microphone. I ended up having to go into loopback and disable all of my other devices, my audio devices. So the list was shorter so I could click my actual microphone at the top. And as I'm doing it, the air is blue. So it's a good job the microphone wasn't active. So that's what I do with it. And at that point, I can't make a backup recording of what I'm saying for me. So then I have to grab my phone and that would then be my backup recording. And I finally gets in there. Luckily, they did not notice. No one noticed the snafu. So I comes out of this session and I'm like, right, I'm going to have to troubleshoot this then. So I ran audio hijack and it was absolutely fine. So it just didn't take kindly to Zoom by the look of it. Unbelievable. But... it might be the Firefox. I find Firefox can get, I don't know if it's caching too much or what, but I do find Firefox can all of a sudden seem to be using a lot of resources. Inside Firefox, there is a way to force clear the cache. And I have done that on occasions. Mike's done that a couple of times as well. Let me have a look, see if I can find it. I'm going to have to do it for a while. Cookies and site data, it's under. So if you go into that bit, that's the read more, that's not helpful. It will be. You get this like popover, which is a proper list. It lists the site, it lists how many cookies are there from that site, it lists the storage amount, and it also tells you the last time you used it. You can either select, you know, a handful that you want, or you can clear the lot. Now, the one that would be using probably the most data for me would probably be Notion. But, you know, you can not only save a few up to a few gig of data, to be honest. You will have to log into all your sites again because your password that you've said, remember my password, will have gone. But it can make a huge difference to the browser. I'll put in a link there, which is the information about it. Don't need that on the end. That gives you a bit of information about it. But I do find with Firefox, it can do that. I mean, all browsers can do that. And I use Firefox the most, so I'm probably seeing it there. I don't think twice about nuking the cache in Chrome, because I basically use Google Chrome for YouTube. But I don't think twice about nuking the cache there, because it's caching all kinds of stuff. I am finding in Vivaldi at the moment, I've got this kind of flickering. And I've no idea what would be causing that kind of flickering in just one application. That does seem a bit weird. But in Vivaldi, I have a whole range of tabs open. So literally 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 22, 24, 26, 28, 30, probably about 36 tabs open. And they are like my three weekly trackers. And what else have I got? I've got Rome open, I've got my calendar open, I've got my dashboard open. I've got the next three MacBytes, the next three After Hours, and the next three Maroons opened. So it's really just so I can get to them very, very quickly. And I've got stuff open that I use all the time, like the DevonThink Notion page for the entire DevonThink series. We've got the mail manager that we use to send the mails. I've got the Brooklands page open, and I've got some spreadsheets open that we use to manage the show as well. And I don't really want to have to close all those tabs and then try and reopen them again, because they're all pinned. I think of Vivaldi as an app enabling me to do specific jobs, but there's definitely a flickering. It had been flickering, and I hadn't linked it to Vivaldi until I installed this extension that gives you superpowers in Notion, the Notion Clipper, the new Notion Clipper. And I noticed that the Notion Clipper itself was kind of jumpy, and that was what got me to get it tracked down to Vivaldi. Very, very annoying. But yeah, try the caches first. The only thing you'll lose is safe passwords and stuff. The rest of the stuff could go anyway. And it's like starting afresh without having to actually uninstall it. And then put the passwords in, you know, one at a time and see how you go with it. It has made a difference for me from time to time. There was one problem I had a while back, about 2 years ago. And it was when I was using Chrome as my main browser. And it just got itself excited repeatedly. And I would try and load in Google Maps and it wouldn't load Google Maps in, even though I was logged in. All I got was the pin where you are. And this pin, the map loaded in and then disappeared within like 2 seconds. So you knew the pin was in the right place. But when the map disappeared, you could scroll the map, but the whole thing was blank, but for your pin in it. Logging out and logging back in did no good. You actually had to nuke the cache. But because it was my main browser, I didn't want to nuke the entire cache. So that was when I got down to, okay, how do you nuke a tiny bit of the cache? And in this case, I knew exactly which bit was causing the problem. And when you nuked that part of the cache, the whole thing was fine. So it can just get upset. It'd be better if you could work out what site's upsetting it. And then you could just nuke that bit or tell it like not to cache that bit. And then that would solve the problem. But that can take quite a while to track down. This was going on for me for months until I could actually track down what the issue was. But once I had and I fixed it, it's not actually done it in months now. So I did it. I did the fix about 5-6 times. And in the end, I think I wore it down and it gave up trying to annoy me. Oh, yeah, I'm loving this panda. The panda's climbing the tree now. So cute. Absolutely adorable. You know, when you get a toy panda and they don't really look like a panda, you know, they kind of look like a bear, but black and white. When I went down to London, it was my first time staying in college in London. So I'm there in the middle of Regent's Park, which is one of the most expensive areas of London. It is so expensive. It's unbelievable. They actually lock the gates at 9 at night. You can walk in after that, but you can't drive in. It's so exclusive. Only the people who live there have a pass to drive in and out. And I'd gone down there to do some exams. And this particular day, I decided I was going to see the pandas. So I goes off to see the pandas. Oh, my first time ever seeing a panda in the fur, as it were. Well, when I went in the shop at London Zoo, they had pandas to buy. This panda was so expensive. This was 1986. This panda was £30. I just had to have him. I had to have him. It was the exact shape of a real panda. So it literally did look like a panda cub. If you were more than 2 feet away from somebody cradling this thing, you would swear it was real. It's that gorgeous. And I called it Chia Chian, which was, there was a panda called Chi Chi, one called An An, and one called Chi Chi, Chia Chia. So I called it Chia Chian after all three of them. When Mike saw it, his face, it is absolutely gorgeous. It may have been expensive, but it survived all these years. It looks like new. It was the one toy that Maya was not allowed to take in the garden and rip the head off. But he did look at it longingly every time it came out. And we've got a husky as well, a little husky. We went down to London, would have been 1999. Have you heard of Hatton Garden? Hatton Gardens in London is a road. Unlike, it's not a park, it's a road. And it's all the exclusive jewellers in London. And we were getting engaged at the Christmas. So Mike said, let's go to London for the day and we'll get a ring from Hatton Garden. So we goes down there. Oh, what a day that was. First thing we did, well, actually, when we'd finished, we went into, what road's that on? Not Oxford Street. Could be Regent Street. It's opposite the Apple Store. And there's a huge toy shop called Hamleys. And I wanted to see Hamleys. I'd always wanted to see Hamleys. And we gets in there and there's this toy husky. I'm looking at it longingly and Mike buys it. Thing was, we actually got to go in Hamleys that day. Now, you're wondering, why wouldn't we get to go in Hamleys? Well, there was a queue outside. This queue was huge, all giggling schoolgirls. I'm like, what's going on? You know, is this the queue to get in? Because I'm thinking we're not going to get in if this lot are in front of us. And they were there. And I think the group was, I think it was Blue. I wasn't into pop groups in 1999, so I'm clueless. But we could just walk in because you were like adults and you weren't after Blue, so you could just walk in. So I did get my bear. But in the morning when we were going around Hatton Garden looking for an engagement ring, I mean, yes, there were lots of rings, but I just didn't like any of them. There wasn't a one. We went up and down Hatton Garden for about 4 hours and I couldn't find one that I liked. Some of them weren't bad, but, you know, it's like, yeah, it's all right. But no, it's not what I had in mind. But we wanted to go in every shop, obviously. So we did one side of the street. And we got halfway down and there was like a lot of commotion on the other side of the road. And obviously, with being Hatton Garden, you're thinking it's not a robbery, is it? But it was like huge vans, huge black vans. And cameras. So I said, oh, it must be the news. You know, they must be doing a piece for the news. So we goes into the next shop. We come out again and we're going down the road. We crosses over the road at the end and then we goes back up. So at this point, we're walking up the side of the road where there's all this kerfuffle going on. So we gets to this shop next door to where all the fuss was going on. And we goes into that one. Like, no, didn't have anything there either. Came out and we were trying to get into the shop next door and it was open, but there was just a lot of people milling around. But by this stage, they were eating sandwiches. And I'm like to Mike, you know, what's this? Is this a picnic or what? Because it really wasn't the kind of place that you would just hang around having a sandwich. And then I saw that the van that the food had come from said Set Support Catering. So I said, I think they're filming something. You know, more than the news. This must have been a TV programme or something, was our logic. So the guy who owned the shop that had been like out of bounds because these people had been filming in it said, come in, come in. You know, they're having their lunch. So Ken went in, had a look, couldn't find anything in there either. But he's busy telling us what's going on. They're filming a film. So I thought, fine. You know, totally nonplussed, whatever. They're filming a film. And he said, yes. He said, if you go outside, right opposite the door, there were two vans back to back. He said, and that's where the stars are that are filming in here. They're doing a scene. So I said, all right, you know, that's great. I'll go and have a look. And then he said a couple of names. Now, one was Mike Reed, who was British actor. He always played an East End character and was actually in EastEnders. And Mike was like, oh, I remember him from Runaround. I said, yeah, so do I. And then the guy puffed himself up like a peacock and said, and then there's the other one. You'll have heard of him. And I'm thinking, will I? I doubt it, but go on. And he said, the other one's Brad Pitt. And I went, oh, that's lovely, lovely. So Mike's like, oh, Brad Pitt. You know, I'm trying to buy this lady an engagement ring and you're trying to palm her off on Brad Pitt. And when we got outside, I said to Mike, I'm not impressed with Brad Pitt. Yeah, don't worry. When the doors opened and out came Brad Pitt. You know, he's all right. Average. But Mike's face was a pitch, you know, how dare you? By this time, another camera crew had arrived. So just as Brad Pitt makes his appearance, and we're stood there like two lemons coming out of this jewellery store, this other crew arrive, and they were from the news. So this was like ITV News, which is a national UK national station. They turned up to record the fact that Brad Pitt was in London doing this piece. And the film was called Snatch. So it was 1999. I think it came out in 2000 or 2001. But the film was called Snatch. I've never seen it. I've never seen this bit. I've no idea if we're in it. Because obviously they were filming and we just stood there. And I said to Mike, leg it before somebody realises on the news it's us. Because obviously we hadn't told anybody we were getting engaged at Christmas. Including the family. So what were you doing at Hatton Garden looking at all these diamond rings? Oh, what a day. So that was I remember the good day, but you know, Brad Pitt, all the stuffed husky every time. But Mike was beside himself, like the one day we want to be incognito, just going around Hatton Garden, minding our own business. You do not need it putting across the Hollywood Reporter and the ITV News. Never a dull moment with us, remember that. Oh, Anthony's got an old English sheepdog. When I stayed at the Midland Hotel in Morecambe. Oh, now that was a big hotel, wasn't it? They had a little toy dog on the bed with a note on the collar saying, if you like me, you can buy me from reception. Oh, that is so cute. That's a really good idea, isn't it? That is so cute. I couldn't leave without this panda, despite the fact £30 to me back then was like... I was working. I did like 2 hours on a Friday at the time. So it was about 3 weeks' money. But I couldn't not. It was just too beautiful. What we like, Anthony. But you know, I've still got them all. I can see the highlight of the five in the tree. Oh, this is just too cute. Too cute. Pandas are so gorgeous. They really are. That was because my first toy that somebody bought me was a panda. That the hospital then lost, but that's a whole different story. But I've loved pandas ever since. That was my aunt from Ireland. Oh, absolutely adorable. Well, I'm going to head off and watch the pandas for hours and hours on end. It's getting warm again here, despite the fact it's raining. What can you do? But I will try and get some of that rain to you, Debbie. Now, what day is tomorrow? Oh, it's only Thursday. It's not Friday. It's not Two Show Friday. I wonder if it would be Two Show Thursday. Jonathan's not here. 133 will make an appearance when you least expect it. Thus, if you expect it tomorrow, it's never going to happen. Just saying. But it will happen. Oh, there's a picture of him as well. Oh, I've got to have a look at that, Anthony. I'll dig out Cheer. Mind you, Cheer's behind a wardrobe door that needs some detailed triage at the moment. Let me have a look. Oh, look at that face. That is just so cute. Oh, it's beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. What did you call him? Got to have a name. What did you call him? Too cute. Tell me what you called him in the chat. I'm thinking now of names. I did like Old English Sheepdogs. You remember when they started doing them on the Dulux ads? But Mum was like, you know, if you're having a dog, you're not having one with that much fur. That's right, Mum, be awkward. But then she met Mayor and the rest is history. Anyway, you let me know in the chat, Anthony, because I'm going to leave that open for 5 minutes or so. But for the moment, I will say good night from me and good night from Mike, who is still, yep, he's deep in his webinar. And we will both see you next time. Stay safe, guys.